Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and I'm joined in the studio today by pastor and educator Gary Cox. And today we're going to be talking about God's design for the family. Gary, just recently I was reading a Pew research study of the millennial generation, which is young people ages 18 to 29. And they were asked the question, what is one of the most important things in life? And 52% of the folks who were asked that question of this upcoming generation, they said that being a good parent was the most important thing. And 30% said that having a successful marriage was the most important thing. A 22% gap between those two things. And we see kind of from that study an interesting snapshot of where the culture is in terms of family, that we kind of have this compartmentalization between being a parent and being a good spouse, and really that you can be a good spouse, or I'm sorry, you can be a good parent and not have to worry so much about the good spouse thing. And to me, that is just kind of a context of where the culture is at in defining what the family is. We're seeing all kinds of things like that, it seems, today, including, you know, the restructuring of the family in terms of same-sex marriage and all. And as we're looking out there in the culture and we're seeing these trends, we're seeing this, and since this confusion, how do we come as people in our age and ask the question, what really is the family in terms of what the Bible has to say about it versus what the culture has to say about it?
There's an interesting verse in Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And it's pretty significant. I think today the cultural clash between ideals that the culture is embracing stems from the fact that another proverb says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And that basically that word vision there means prophetic vision, meaning the word of God. And I think that the fundamental question is, we either have revelation from God to guide our path, or we live by our best guess. Let me read a short passage to you from Isaiah 55, which is quite profound. It says in verse 6 of chapter 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we have this picture here of God's thoughts versus our, but he goes forth and he identifies his thoughts are held up for us in his holy word. And he continues, says, as the rain comes down in the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. And so we have this simple paradigm. We either live by our best guess, or we live by the revelation from the word of God.
Would you say that what the culture is missing then is a failure to acknowledge the Creator?
Absolutely. Remember thy Creator. I mean, the fundamental reality is, if I was made by God on purpose, then my God has a purpose for why he made me.
Does the design that the Creator has for the family, has that been revealed to us in a particular way?
Well, absolutely. I mean, primarily we've already referred to the Scripture, and when we talk about God's design for the family in this broadcast today and weeks to come, our focus is always that revelation. What has God revealed? I love the passage in the Scripture that says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed, they belong to us and to our children forevermore. So we don't have to live in the dark. We don't have to make our best guess and imagination. But I think the thing that our culture really needs to hear is that the fullness of happiness and joy that we desire is found in that connection of understanding what God has planned and living our life in conjunction with that. And I'm excited about that prospect, talking about that in these radio broadcasts.
Gary, it seems like our culture generally just has an attitude of, you know, we kind of want to throw aside any kind of restrictions on how we have to do things. The idea of having a structure or a pattern that, you know, is the standard that has to be followed. You know, we don't like that idea. Why is there a kind of that sense of just resistance toward the idea of there being a design for anything and a design for the family? Why is that there?
Well, the reality is we're all sinners. There's a fundamental flaw in our nature, and we really desire to live life according to our understanding. That's the basic nature of our sin. And we are repulsed often, and we repel the introduction of the Word of God into our life. But the mystery of the Lord's kindness to us is that He saw us in our need. He saw us in the state of that rebellion. And He came down and He reached out to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He's reset that purpose that God has for us. And so by the indwelling Spirit, who enters our life by repentance and receiving Christ as Savior, by the indwelling Word, which comes to us not only by reading the Scripture, but by the Holy Spirit taking that Word and making it alive to us, we become capable of being transformed and having our mind think thoughts differently, and really to think according to the manual, as it were, that God wrote. A mechanic would laugh you out of his shop if you brought your automobile or whatever mechanical device you wanted repaired, and he asked you, well, did you look at the manual and are you operating it according to the manual? And you said, well, I didn't think I needed, I mean, I don't like somebody telling me what to do. I mean, I do what I think I should be doing with it, and I think that it ought to work the way I want it. I mean, the guy would laugh you out because the designer of whatever that tool, that automobile is, he's kind enough to give you the information you need to operate it. And that's how our Maker is. He is our designer. He's our Maker. It's He who made us, not we ourselves. And we are the sheep of His pasture. So that relationship is, okay, Lord, how did you make me? And I'm ready to respond to that with, Lord, your servant is listening. Show me your way.
So God's intent behind the design is really one out of the love of a Maker, the love of a Creator, not because there's some abstract, well, this is how it ought to be for no other reason than this is how it is. But the design itself is a reflection of God's nature, including, and that goes to the design of the family being a reflection of God's very nature. Is that true?
That's true. I think what I'm excited about in terms of this radio broadcast is that we'll never exhaust material as we discuss God's design, because there are so many little nuanceical elements of family life from day to day that we're a part of that God so simply and directly speaks into out of His larger design. And we're going to be speaking generally about a couple of those in the next several radio broadcasts. And in that process of bringing those up, we're going to be looking at it not from some compulsion of how you had better do this or else, but by this invitation of revelation. By the way, the Lord who made you, He has revealed to us how we might walk to enjoy the fullness of how he's made us. And that applies to family and every single instance of family life.
Have we seen a shift in our culture as we've kind of distanced ourselves from an acknowledgement of the Creator? Have we seen a fundamental connection between a failure to acknowledge God as a Creator and how that's carried over to a breakdown in the family?
Well, I think the answer is yes. But I also want us to be careful and remember that this has been a battle that's been going on generation after generation. I mean, in a major sense of the word, the big turn towards questioning the Maker began to happen in, you know, back at the turn of the last century when Darwin wrote his thesis on the evolution of species, and all of that began to settle into so-called science and what have you. But in terms of the bigger picture, that danger was spoken of by the Apostle Peter. It was prophesied in the little book of 2 Peter. And it's a remarkable thing to see that the Scripture says the problem we're going to fight in the last days is we're going to fight scoffers. And so if I might just read that passage, that is like an incredible passage. So if you have your Bible, I'm turning to 2 Peter chapter 3. And here's what happens. The Scripture says this. I write the second epistle to you, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Right away, the foundation here, there's that significant issue that the Word of God has to be the foundational point where we take our outlook, where we get our perspective. And it continues there in verse 3 saying, knowing this, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. I mean, the main problem that we have with scriptural revelation is that we want to live by our own design, by our own imagination. Ultimately, Scripture calls that idolatry. And reality is, that's not going to change the way the manual was written or how we function. So here's what he described. Now, this is the Apostle Peter within 100 years after Christ's death. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget. Okay, willing ignorance, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and that the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water, and by which the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are preserved by the same word and reserved for fire until the day of judgment. So what we find here is a simple statement. Men don't want to give an account for their rebellion. They want to live life as they see fit, with no one saying no, and with no fear of any reparation, of any correction. Let me jump in here before you ask your next question, and let me just point out really something rather simple, and that is the issue of the Creator brings you to a place of a revealer. And in these broadcasts, we're going to continually be referring back to the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer, and the Revealer. We're going to be continually focusing on God and his apparatus. But it's a fair thing to say, now listen to me. If God created the world and he wants me to respond to him as the Creator, don't you think he ought to have given me some kind of revelation so that I can respond to him? So all these broadcasts are going to be continually talking about God's design because he's the Creator. And in that fundamental point of reference, we're going to begin to understand that the problem isn't that God hasn't given revelation. The problem is that we refuse. We don't want to hear the revelation he's given. And I just want to take you briefly for a moment to the book of Romans chapter 1. It's probably one of my most transformative life passages. But when you get to chapter 1 of Romans, in verse 16 and 17, he's talking about the gospel, of course. Church is just getting started. Christ has risen from the dead and gone back to heaven. And he says in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it's important that we understand the tension that we have in our culture, the tension that fights against this recognition of our Creator and walking after his design. It's the tension that's created by scoffers. Scoffers walking in their own lusts, whose objective is simply to deny the Creator. And to stipulate and to state, back there in that other passage that Peter was talking about in chapter 3, 2 Peter. So the fundamental point is, what am I doing with truth? And Paul says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So there's an arch enemy of the gospel that attempts to make us ashamed. He says it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And then he continues in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So most people stop there and have a sermon, preach a lecture on the nature of the salvation of God, but he continues. So I want you to get the picture. Verse 17, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is made known to them, for God has shown it to them. And I don't think we really stop and understand this. The things about God that may be known about him, they've been made known. So the revelation is there. And what God is revealing is he's revealing the fact that his wrath is against those who refuse to hear his message. And so he says, continuing on, that verse 20, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even, there's two things about God's eternal attributes that are understood from the creation, even his eternal power and his Godhead. And notice the closer there, so they are without excuse. So when we're talking about God's design for the family, we're recognizing that the Creator not only designed us in a certain fashion, but he also revealed to us those kinds of things that we ought to be doing. And pay close attention to where scoffing comes from, because what happens is, if I know God has eternal power and I know that God is in charge of everything, he's the ultimate authority in every matter, then that brings to me, through that revelation, that brings to me an obligation. And that obligation is simply this. I'm going to read verse 21, because although they knew God, okay, there's that revelation, they did not glorify him as God, and neither were they thankful, but became futile or empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what we have is the snapshot. It's not that there isn't revelation that we have a God who made everything and that he's absolutely in charge. It's that we don't want to include him. We want to deny that God has that element in there. But for us to begin the trek, nobody can begin this trek of following after God's design for anything until he recognizes, you know what, there is a God. He is a powerful, mighty, eternal God. He's in charge of everything, and he can do anything. And those two fundamental things bring us to the place of our first response to the revelation of God. I give him glory. I recognize him in that position of authority. And I give him thanks. And as soon as I'm in that condition of giving God and giving him thanks, giving him glory and thanks, I'm at that place of a student or a teacher, and I'm saying, teach me, Lord, and I shall learn. So now that design can flow forth. But the problem is, nope, we refuse to give God glory. We refuse to give him thanks. Everything has to be by our best guess, and professing ourselves to be wise, we become futile. It's important that we understand that word futile means I remove the knowledge of God from my thinking on purpose. And now everything that I do, everything that I think, all my design, all my science, everything omits God from the formula. And now I have less information. That's called reprobate thinking. I've got less information in my mind than is actually there to be dealt with. And I will continually go down the path of confusion and rebellion. And the rest of chapter 1 of Romans, he lists all these cultural ills that we see in the paper every single day. And those cultural ills are caused by refusing to worship and serve the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
So, Gary, again, I mean, the central point here is God being the Creator and how important that is, vitally important to acknowledging that first, recognizing that first, in terms of understanding God's design for the family. As we're wrapping up today's conversation, what for you personally you've had an interesting life journey, and we'll be able to talk about that maybe in future broadcasts. But how has that concept personally affected you as you have grown up and had your own family?
Well, that's great. Let me give a little testimony, a little takeaway. First of all, when I was a child, I was raised in a church setting, and we believed the Bible was the Word of God. In that process of that setting, I picked up the Scripture, and I understood from the Word of God that God had made us. First three chapters of Genesis. I knew where I came from, I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that God was doing something about it through His glorious redemption. When I got to high school and I was told about evolution, I was in a religious type of a school setting, and they said, you know, we came from apes. And I'm like, wait a minute, the Scripture says we came from God. And, well, science we know better. It was just very, very poor quality science, to say the least. But immediately, my faith in God was wiped off, because I said, hey, listen, everything I've been told as a kid isn't real. Santa's not real. Tooth Fairy's not real. Red Easter Bunny's not real. And creation's not real. Everything's just a myth. And so I immediately drew the conclusion, God isn't real. Christ isn't real. There's no such thing as sin. We're just bumbling about with no purpose. So I became an agnostic at that point and began to try to live my life according to my best guess, which I'm not a very good guesser. And I began to have a pretty futile and empty life. By the grace of God, at one moment in time, June 11th to be precise, the glorious understanding of the gospel, that clarion call that said, call on me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not. I called on the Lord and I was born again, transformed from the inside out. At that hour, what was reinstated to me was understanding God's the creator. And so as creator, I just embraced him. Well, Agnes Flood happened back then, 1972. And I'm out there digging up a fence line on some farm with somebody. And the guy was joking around and saying, hey, wouldn't it be great if we could find the missing link? And deep out of my spirit, without any consideration of logic to his sarcasm, I simply said, well, we'll never find it because a missing link doesn't exist, because we were created by God. And he was a pre-med student, and he started dancing around me and touching me. He said, well, I've never seen one before. I've never touched one. A creationist. And I said, well, actually, I'm a brand new Christian, but let me tell you something. The scripture that says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I call on the name of the Lord. I've been transformed. And that scripture says that the Lord created the world in six literal days. And I believe that in entirety because of the experiential reality. The reality of what family is living in that relationship that God's designed us for. Ultimately with him, experience today in family.
Well, that, Gary, we're going to conclude our conversation for today about God's design for the family, and particularly God being the creator, and that he does have a design for us and for our families, and that being kind of the starting point that we need to recognize as we are looking at how to raise and interact with our own families. I want to thank you for listening in today. If you'd like more information about Family by Design, or also the Ministry of Walkersville Christian Family Schools, you can visit our website at www.wcfs.edu. You can also contact us by phone, 301-241-2072, or you can email us at radio@wcfs.edu. That's radio@wcfs.edu. We're going to be continuing our discussion about God's design for the family in our next broadcast, when we will look at God's purpose for the family. Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.